In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Now, you could see this as just a survival of folk religion. I used to belong to a parish in central London where they absolutely refused to have Harvest Festival because it wasn't a proper part of the liturgy and because it was just a kind of superstition and all of those things. There was some truth in that. I remember in my next parish in the northwest of England, people would come for Harvest Festival who wouldn't be seen dead in church or alive or any other way for the rest of the year. It had a kind of folkish quality about it, which didn't seem necessarily to be derived from the gospel or the Christian religion, but in some ways to be derived from a kind of folk paganism from the long distant past. Well, you could see it like that, and there are those who have seen it like that and disliked it accordingly. But you could also see that it is, to use a favourite phrase of mine, an attempt to put Humpty Dumpty back together again. That's to say, it's a testimony to the unity of God's plan, his creation, and all the rest of it. Meister Eckhart, the great 13th century German mystic, said, "If the only prayer a man ever says is thank you, it's enough." And I remember reading, I think, in something written by Thomas Merton about a Buddhist monk who would get up every morning and bow to the sunrise. In other words, there's a unity between the creator and the creation, which means that the whole thing is part of God's plan. And that we should see it like that. That we should perceive the fact that all of this comes from God. The whole creation comes from God. Designed by God, empowered by God, brought into existence by God, kept going by God. All of it derives from the will, the plan, and the power, and the sheer goodness of God. And that's not really something that we're used to in our culture. We have become such masters of the universe ourselves. We can manipulate it. I think we're about to have clones of human beings, if you please, from some Italian person who should be taken out and shot quietly for it, in a loving Christian sort of way, of course. We've become such masters of our environment and so on that we tend to think that we're the ones from whom it all comes. We're the ones who are in charge of it. We're the ones who will dictate what it's like and what it does and what gifts we get from it. And that is actually just not the case. In the Christian religion, as in all the great religions, the creation is a creation of God, and it's a gift of God, and the correct response to that is gratitude. Now, gratitude is one of the most liberating and inspiring of emotions. When we feel bitter and resentful, when we feel cheated, when we feel we haven't got our rights, when we feel we haven't been appreciated, that we haven't received those things we should have received, we're not happy. It's not a way of being happy. Some people enjoy moaning about it, of course, I do from time to time, but by and large it's not the royal road to happiness, feeling resentful, cheated, embittered, undervalued and underappreciated and all of those things. What does make us happy is a sense of real gratitude, not that awful sort of gratitude that you're required to feel at Christmas time as you open the presents, you know, and say to yourself, oh God, this is just exactly what, not another pair of underpants. How many pairs of underpants do I need? Thank you so much for the lovely underpants, you know. That's not the sort of gratitude I'm talking about. I'm talking about a real sense of gratitude for something that you're really appreciative of. And that should include your own existence. Harvest Festival is not just about plants and things to eat. It's about the fact that the whole of the creation is a gift, including its very life. In the first reading, we find the Lord Jesus described as the author of life. The actual Greek can mean sort of leader of life, leader towards life, all sorts of things, but it's often translated, as it is here, as the author of life, the cause of life, the one who actually causes existence to exist. And it's for that that we should be grateful. And being grateful, not because we have to be, but because we actually are, is a very healthy and happy thing for a human being to be. So what this this festival is doing is testifying to the unity and oneness of God's plan. And that's why, among other things, it seems to me essential that we believe what the Blessed Lord says here in the Gospel reading. He says, "Look at my hands and my feet, it's I myself, touch me and see, for a ghost does not have flesh and bones as you see that I have." Now, even amongst people who would be orthodox in their belief, some of them clergy in this diocese, let me tell you, there is a tendency to say, "Ah, yes, but it was a spiritual resurrection. No, no, not a physical resurrection, but a spiritual resurrection." I can't think of a term of abuse which I could actually say here, which would be reasonably polite and not offensive to your ears, in order to indicate what a load of baloney I think that actually happens to be. What we're talking about is the whole thing is God's creation. All of it. Every last molecule of it was made, created, sustained, and so on by God. There's not a bit that's out here which is beyond God, as it were, like our physical bit. Oh no, we have a spiritual resurrection. We can't have a physical. Yes, we can. We're not going to, not immediately, not if they get us to the creme first, I suppose, that'll probably be the end of that. But nevertheless, we will be constituted in the fullness of our humanity in the world to come. And the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ is the pledge of that. You're not going to heaven to be an angel, a disembodied spirit, or anything like that. You're going to heaven to be fully human, because the whole creation is part of the divine plan. The whole creation, according to St. Paul in the 7th and 8th chapters of Romans, groans waiting for its redemption. All of it. And that would include the animal creation, plants, the whole works. All of it somehow is not only created and sustained by God, but has a future beyond this world. Now, how that can possibly be, we can't even begin to understand. But the fact that we can't begin to understand doesn't mean to say that it's not true. I don't understand all sorts of things. I don't understand why people go to churches other than St. Peter's Caversham, for example. But that doesn't mean to say that they don't. I know they don't. I know they do. They do, poor benighted things, they do. But the fact that you can't understand it or grasp something is no justification for saying that it can't be so. So what in the end we're faced with, and this is the real test in a way, is the mystery of God's providence. We don't do mystery very easily in our culture, and in some ways that's good, because all too often the world's been drawn over our eyes in the past. You know, we've been encouraged to believe absolutely any kind of nonsense, particularly if it's got a sort of religious stamp on it. And in our own time there's been a strong reaction against that, and rightly so. But nevertheless, the heart of everything is mysterious, profoundly mysterious, in a most wonderful and remarkable way. And that goes for the whole creation in which we live and its destiny and so on. We can't actually just treat it as a thing that we can deal with as we please. It's part of the whole mystery of the divine providence, of what Julian of Norwich calls the deep, quiet keeping of God. All of it is in the deep, quiet keeping of God. All of it is part of his plan, both for this world and the next. And in that sense, all of it is sacred, and we are right to celebrate it on a day such as this. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Amen.